Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. And how's your shabby self doing there today?
I'm telling you, it's not too shabby, which is nice.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. We're going to talk some wrestling, so I'm going to dive right into it here, Mo. WCW hasn't been around now for 10 years. 2001, WCW died. The last Nitro was there in 2001, Panama City, the simulcast. 10 years later, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's a shame how many wrestling fans just left. How TNA, despite trying to be WCW in many ways, certainly with their roster, has not been able to recapture that.
Well, they have, actually. They've been very well able to recapture 2000 WCW.
Well, I mean recapture the people that left. As far as recapturing Thunder, that they've done a pretty goddamn good job of.
Yes, well, they're both on Thursday, so there you go.
There you go. But I think that's, when I look back now, that's kind of what makes me sad about it. That's the saddest thing because, I mean, we have had another national company jump up, but they've never become any sort of competition. And I look back, and that's when I think back on WCW, I really miss that competition that forced the innovation in the industry.
You want some competition.
Yes, thank you. Is that on the line? No, wait, no.
No, that was last, that was like a week ago.
Two shows ago. Yeah.
Like a week ago, yeah. It's, no, I really do think that's the shame. What I thought, what I'd always thought, actually, is the ratings. People talked about the Monday Night Wars and the ratings. I'm of the opinion, and I don't know why, no one's been able to show this to me one way or the other, so I'm just going to assume that I'm right. Like I always do, and I usually am. But with the ratings back in the 90s with the USA Network and TNT and Spike TV and TNT, I always thought that it seemed inconceivable to me that there were that many people watching wrestling. At some point, they had their highs. But what I'd always sort of thought was that if I had a Nielsen box and I switched between Raw and Nitro, and I did that, you know, within a minute, right? If I switched, I saw that they're, you know, okay, well, Buff Bagwell's on, so I'm going to switch back, right? And I did that.
Right, if Buff Bagwell's on, I thought you would watch.
Well, most people did because he was such a big star.
Well, but, when Judy was with him.
Well, of course. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. Great tag team.
Great tag team. But tag team champions, weren't they?
Tag team champions. Well, that was Rick Steiner and Judy Bagwell.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah,
my
Judy
mistake.
Bagwell later also won a pole.
Was but Judy the better worker of the Bagwells?
Possibly a better promo.
Yeah.
Possibly. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here, but I always thought that if I'd switch between the two shows
within there... No, really, because we're talking about how WCW was shit.
Yes, that's true. And we're talking about WCW and how it's dead, and this is one of the reasons, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a reason. Yeah. You do that to your tag titles, yeah.
Well, you do, but I'd always thought that the ratings were inflated.
Wait a second. Who was writing the show back then?
When it died?
Yeah.
Ed Ferrara.
Oh, but I mean when Judy Bagwell was champion. Where the fuck was Vincent Russo is what I'd like to know.
So he was in WWF.
At the time?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was like a... I don't know if... It must have been a Bischoff thing. It was a Bischoff thing.
Well, that was a Bischoff thing. So Bischoff also Russo
put Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
That's right. On a
for a match. Yeah, at the one in Vancouver, I believe it was. But yeah, that was
especially reinforced forklift, likely.
Likely.
All right. So, anyways, you're saying you're going back. You're
I always thought the ratings. I always thought the ratings were inflated.
Okay,
so
let me just mention something on that because you're talking about the ratings being inflated.
Mm-hmm.
TNA and WWE. Went head-to-head about a year, a little more than a year. Well, a year ago, really.
Right.
They were going head-to-head, and mm-hmm. Those ratings were not inflated.
Yep.
You know.
Well, how many people switch back and forth, though?
Well, that's the thing. Even at the height of it, even when they were there, before they started losing and going down to a 0.6, a 0.5, there was never – it just I don't
4th.
Know about that. I really think a lot of people – were WCW fans, were old school Southern wrestling fans. It had been on the on that station and those Turner Broadcasting Networks for a long time.
Oh,
I think that there's a lot of people that just they left and TNA has never – TNA has put on the product that drove them away
yes.
instead of putting on the product that they would like.
Clearly people
so they've never caught back on
and it. I said clearly people have been driven away, okay? But I think that the number – we're talking about 10 million people were watching wrestling or, you know, a total of a 10 rating. I don't think it was a total of a 10 rating.
I don't think it was ever a total of a 10 rating.
If someone was getting a 6 and the other guy was getting a 4 –
was it ever that high?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting 6 and 4, but I don't know that it was a 10. It might have been an 8 in reality is what I'm saying, is that I think it was inflated. So we're talking about people driving off that many fans. I don't think it was that many fans. And you want to talk about the height of the war. Let's look at the first night of the war. I think the first night of the war is when the January 4th, sort of the start of it the one time, and then they didn't continue with it till February. But January 4th with the Brett and Hogan's debuts on the companies, I think there were a lot of people flipping back and forth. And I think that did inflate
their rating.
What was it that
night, like a 3-7 and a 1-6
and a 1-7, I think. I think those numbers were inflated.
Yeah.
Because of people, certainly TNA.
We were jumping back and forth that night.
Well, we weren't. But, well, we watched the first hour, taped, PVR'd the rest of it because we wanted to see Brett most. But, I think that's, to me, is when people say it's that many fans, well, I'm of the opinion that I don't think it is as many fans as maybe Nielsen might show that it is. But you're right. There are fans that were turned off, and I think that's the problem is that what they did do is they took they've basically been a continuation of WCW, not a going back to the days when WCW worked, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like I say, that they're the product that drove that shut down TNA. To a large degree, instead of
WCW.
A product. TNA is the product right now that was the product that shut down a WCW.
Yes.
Also, though, I mean, you look at WCW's ratings, and you're getting a 2-4. Recently, I mean, SmackDown on Sci-Fi has been getting up to a 2-4, and it's the first time it's been at that for a long time. And it's a huge success for Sci-Fi, and it's a huge success for SmackDown to get back up to that.
Right.
And they're bragging about that rating, which is the rating that was too low to keep WCW on the air.
That's right.
That's fascinating. And essentially double what TNA is doing.
Well, the other thing you have to look at is the evolution of cable television. And a rating, what you sort of look at is not necessarily the 2.0 or the 1.7 or, you know, or whatever the actual rating figure is. To me, what you have to actually look at is how many millions of viewers did they have? Because a 1.5 million viewers today may be a different, well, is a different ratings percentage than than it is back in 97.
There's more channels. There's more.
Exactly, more choice.
There's more choice. And a lot of the stuff that's put on nowadays is cheaper to produce than what it was back then as well. But the reality television is extremely huge right now in the cable TV market. Well, all of TV. And one of the things that they love about it is not only the draw ratings, but it's a cheap thing to produce.
It is. It's like your mom.
Yes, yes.
So, as I said, I think that WWF, as expected, got stagnant.
Yeah, absolutely they did.
And they got to a point where they tried to create their own competition.
The innovation wasn't – here's the thing that you had back then. I mean, you had innovation during the creation of the NWO, and when Nitro came out, there was a lot of innovation on Nitro, ton of it. And it forced WWF – F at the time to also be innovative. But you had a third thing, and that you could have a third company come in and go, fuck these guys, let's do something completely different, and actually get a national level in ECW to some degree. And there's also not that. There's just not, with the death of WCW, a company like ROH hasn't been able to really ever get that national stage. I think largely because of companies. They don't trust – there's less of a trust for wrestling companies than there once was. I think they're less likely to take a chance on them.
Well, we talked about last time a little bit about how, you know, is TNA doing the right things or is TNA just getting the WrestleMania bump? And that's sort of what you're talking about in a grander scale, is that ECW helped or was helped by the Monday Night War bump. And now that we've gotten down...
But they were also innovative in their approach.
Well, they were,
and WWE
so is Ring of Honor. I mean, Ring of Honor did...
Actually, Ring of Honor is innovative in the fact that they're old school.
Yeah, but that's innovative. I mean, that's back
true.
To basics,
yeah.
right? I mean, so, and just to touch base with what we were talking about now that I brought it up in front of me here, August 30th, 1999, Nitro got a 6.0 rating and Raw got a 4.2.
There's
10.2 total rating
so even
points.
Even if you
but
say
again,
that, you say that's an 8?
Yeah,
I mean, what's Monday Night Football doing right now, you know?
Well, they're locked out, so 0.
Yes, well, that's true. That's true. But Monday Night Football this last year was doing...
Who'd they ever
beat? I believe
they were
doing more than that, but still, I mean, this Monday Night Football was at one point the two wrestling companies were beating Monday Night Football.
Who'd Dan Dierdorf ever beat?
Dan Dierdorf? Nobody.
Yeah. See.
Nobody. Yeah.
Bastard. All right. Well, that's. I think. I mean, WCW dead 10 years later. I think we're starting to see. Really.
It's funny because I still miss them. Because I just want that competition to be good.
I don't miss them because I...
Well, here's the thing. But WWF was so huge for the 80s, right? And when WCW kind of took over from WWF at the time, WCW. When they took over, I was cheering for them. And especially after... Brett got screwed, and he was my favorite. I was cheering for WCW. And then, because WWE was the small underdog, I started cheering for the WWE. And then, towards the end of WCW,
the timeline's a little off,
yeah.
But okay.
Okay. Well, you know what I mean, though.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The timeline's a little bit off, but... Well, actually, no, it's not. For me, this is when I was cheering for WCW.
Yeah,
was
no, you can be wrong.
Over there.
You're a little bit off.
Well, I was, but I was cheering for WCW at that time. Actually, I was cheering for... When Brett was... I was cheering for WCW.
Yeah.
Then I was cheering for for WWF when Brett was doing the Hating America thing. And then they screwed Brett, so I was cheering for WCW. But pretty soon I was cheering for WWF again. And then towards the end of WCW, when Russo was taking over, they were the team. I wanted Russo to come in and turn it around. I was cheering for them again because I was always cheering for the underdog. I stopped cheering for TNA a hell of a long time ago.
Yeah, I stopped cheering for TNA after they fucked up the Angle Joe thing. Really, when they replaced Scott D'Amore with Russo is kind of it's not
think.
It's
what
not
is the actual thing that where I did.
It's not because of that, but that just happened to be. I mean, when it was, you know, Angle was coming in and they were firing. To me, they were firing on all cylinders when they got the Dudley Boys and Christian, and then they got Sting. And I think, unfortunately, them getting Sting,
they were building to great pay per view events, and I kept on going, keep putting these on. Eventually, people will notice.
Yeah, and then they kind of screwed it up, and not even kind of, they did screw it up. And then I knew it was over when a blow-up doll showed up in the X Division match.
Okay, I'll tell you where it was for me. When I knew it was over was when, I believe it was Abyss, won the world championship from Sting, because Sting
got
disqualified.
Oh, DQ, yes.
Because apparently that was something they had created and used a few years ago. From after that, many times the world title was a disqualification and it didn't change hands, and many times since it has been. But they used it that one time to get the title off Sting without him having to do the job. And I just gave up. I just went, what the fuck am I watching here?
Yeah, I gave up a little bit. That might have been around the same time.
It was really
time,
around
actually.
The same time. They had all the terrible Abyss Sting storyline and Chris Abyss
with
Fire
his
Russo chance and the, you know, the different matches. They tried to create these innovative matches that
the
were
barbed
too
wire electrified cage.
Yeah, matches that were too convoluted to really work. And I went, they don't get. And meanwhile, there was the emergence of MMA at the time. So really what I was looking for in an alternative, I was starting to get elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this isn't an MMA show. We don't talk MMA on this show.
We talk wrestling.
We talk wrestling. That's a difference between us and many wrestling shows, though. But, yeah, I mean, so that's kind of, I don't know. That's kind of where I gave up on TNA. I don't know that I ever really gave up on WCW. I mean,
I did.
I gave up on the idea that they would ever turn around. But I didn't give up on the idea of me really wanting them to turn around. And to some degree, I haven't given up on wanting TNA to turn around.
I've
just given up that it will happen.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I'm not going to waste my energy because they're
Because
they're idiots. They're fucking morons. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're never going to know what the fuck they're doing. Essentially, there has to be a complete makeover, home edition on their whole fucking front office for anything to even begin to change. And it's not going to happen because the funding are the Carters and little girl Dixie is the fucking head, and as long as she is allowed to sit around and have no fucking clue and say, yeah, Vince Russo knows what the fuck he's talking about, they're fucked.
So what do you think of their booking? Right
fuck.
So are you fond of TNA?
Fuck them. We don't motherfucking need them.
We don't motherfucking
want them.
That used to be when we worked together, our slogan. So, okay, well, that actually brings up an interesting game because you mentioned the media front office overhaul. We're not going to play it at the moment, but it's a game we're going to play a little later.
Yes, yes.
Regarding the front office of the different companies, it's called
Douche or No Douche.
It's a game. I'll give you credit. This is one you came up with. But here's a game that I did not come up with.
I looked at you and I thought of a douche.
And here's a game I did not come up with. It was actually a game that I'm stealing from the great Howard Stern, the greatest radio personality of all time.
Are we stealing another game from Howard Stern?
Fuck yeah. If you're
who is this Howard Stern
steal
guy?
From the best. Who'd he ever beat?
Well, who is he?
Ah, the great Howard Stern. So anyways, here's a little game we're going to play in Wrestling Personalities.
I think he works at Max.
Along with Twitter's. No, he's...
Isn't he in Edgemont? No?
No, I don't
that's
think
Bob
so.
Sacamano.
That's Bob Sacamano.
Jesus,
yeah.
I always get them mixed
Howard
up.
Stern, English, no accent to it.
Oh.
Yeah. Max, by the way, is a Canadian version of 7-Eleven. John Cena or Jeff Hardy, who has more Twitter followers?
Ooh. Well, I would actually think Jeff Hardy has to keep his dealers straight on Twitter. But I'm going to say Cena.
You're going to say Cena?
I'm going to say Cena. I'm just going to
You
say
would be correct. Yeah, Cena has like over 150,000 more followers than any other wrestling personality.
Okay, yeah.
He is far and away the most popular. I think it's an interesting one. Here's an interesting one. Who has more followers? Kofi Kingston or CM Punk?
Oh, Punk. It's got to be Punk.
No, it's Kingston.
Really?
Yeah, Kingston has, he's not a huge lead, about 10,000 followers more, but he has more followers.
The thing with Kingston is that he got some people in Jamaica, and now he's getting some people in the West Indies. Wherever he's going to be from next week, he'll get some followers there, too.
I'm going to do a three-way one here.
Yeah, you are.
Well, your mom's used to them.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
Okay. You're going to have a three-way with
Evan Airborne.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan.
Bryan. I say Bryan. Because I always say Daniel Bryan because when he got fired, there was a big outcry.
That's true. He's an internet sensation, internet darling, right?
He is an internet darling.
Ted DiBiase Jr. has the most followers.
Does he really?
He actually does.
Wow. You think that's because people got him mixed up with his dad?
Probably.
Do you think Virgil's one of his followers?
No, Virgil's all by himself. He doesn't have any followers himself.
He wouldn't have any followers himself, but he could follow people.
Oh, good point. Good point.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
He's a bodyguard.
Okay,
that's
Matt
Hardy. That's what it says, guard the body.
Matt Hardy or Chris Jericho?
Jericho.
Chris Jericho does have more.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that would be close, though, because Matt Hardy... Well, you know what? If this was like whatever that was, 05, when Matt Hardy was Lita, and he was whining and stuff, then he would have had more. But, yeah, Jericho's pretty good for the online people.
The Miz or Shawn Michaels?
I say Miz.
The Miz has more followers than Shawn Michaels.
I don't know that Shawn's probably that. He's obviously on it, but I don't know how long he's been on it. To me, I would think that Miz has been more established there to build up more time to get more followers.
Okay, Big Show or John Morrison?
Morrison.
Really? And what's your thinking there?
I hate the Big Show.
You'd be right. Excellent. You would be right. You would be right. Wade Barrett or Dolph Ziggler?
Well, I'm going to probably say Wade Barrett?
Barrett.
Was that the guess?
That is the correct guess.
Yes.
MVP or Gregory Shane Helms?
Wow. I had no idea that Knuckleball Schwartz was even on Twitter. But I'm going to say Gregory Helms.
You know what? You're pretty fucking good at this. Mm-hmm. You are pretty fucking good at this. Maria...
Well, he's been known by so many names, right? MVP, Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. What was he? Was the baseball goon there? I mean, he's had so many names.
He's had some winners.
How would you know what handle to follow with, right? Be tough.
Okay.
So, sorry, Maria or...
Maria or Mickey James?
Ah, interesting. I'm going to say Mickey James.
I'm going to say Mickey James. You're going to be correct.
Yeah, she's just... Maria's been gone longer, right? So
Maria has been gone longer. So has... But Shane Helms has been gone longer from WWE, right?
Yeah, but those Omega guys are all Twitter freaks.
That's true. They're all Twitter freaks. Okay, Zack Ryder or Goldust?
And they love their grapes. Zack Ryder or Goldust? I'm going to say Goldust. Probably wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah, you're actually wrong
on that
one.
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo.
Man with the
it.
Tan gets hotter girls than you can, as it says on his.
Awesome. I love Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder is terrific. Chavo Guerrero or Tommy Dreamer?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to say Tommy Dreamer because if you don't actually follow him, he'll cry.
That's true. Of course, Chavo just ahead of him, mind you.
Is he really? Well,
like 500
he's in the Fed,
ahead.
Though, right?
It's really close.
He's got more exposure, I guess. I mean, isn't he like Mex Warrior or something? Is that his handle, Chavo? Is it called Mex Warrior or something?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Why not?
But Mick Foley or Jim Ross?
Oh, JR. Good old JR.
Yeah, JR's way
ahead. Yeah, he's got it. I didn't even know
Foley's below.
Honestly, I didn't even know Foley was on Twitter, so he may have just created that.
Yeah, he's actually surprisingly low. So.
Well, I don't think he uses it.
Okay, Jack Swagger or Rob Van Dam?
Ooh. I'm going to say Rob Van Dam by 420.
You're wrong, though. Jack Swagger has more Twitter followers than Rob Van Dam.
Well, again, he's in WWE, and RVD's, you know, not.
Okay, Samoa Joe or Shannon Moore?
Joe.
Shannon?
Well,
Moore
yeah, again, you know what? Why am I. Is he? Okay, so Joe's
there
okay.
You go, yeah.
So I was thinking Moore, you know, again, with the Hardy, it's probably the Shannon Moore brand, is it not?
Well, that's Fox. The thing, you know. It's the. Yeah. So, okay, let's just do one more here.
Yeah.
Last one. Actually, I don't even think we're going to do a last one here. I don't see any interesting ones.
Yeah, no, good way to end.
Okay, no, wait. Okay, all right.
Finish strong. You've done this before.
Here we go. Darren Young or AJ Styles?
I'm going to say Darren Young.
Darren Young beats AJ Styles.
Of course he does. Well, they did all that. Darren Young's back on that new season of NXT.
That's true. That's
the
true.
Rebirth or whatever. Rebirth. It's like him and Yaki Cannon.
Yeah.
And then everybody. And then I don't remember who else.
Bunch of people from NXT. That so that's why you wouldn't remember them.
Maybe Michael Tarver, is he back?
No, he's not actually on it.
Really?
No. Well, he's backstage watching things happen.
Have you noticed how
he hasn't been backstage watching things happen for a while? Even though I said to you, I remember you said, "I think this is going somewhere." I said, "No, it isn't. Fuck, no, it isn't." And of course, it wasn't.
Well, you don't know.
No. You know who knows, though? I have somebody on the phone. Speaking of knowing people.
I'm a good friend.
Yeah, I'm good friends with Harley Race, and I was talking to Harley earlier, and apparently he told me that Ric Flair didn't make it, and there's been a lot of rumors flying around. I have Flair on the phone. I want to address this with you. Ric, is that you?
Woo!
Ric, is that you?
Woo!
That's you, right, Ric?
That's me. Mo!
All right.
Mo!
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, hey, Ric.
Am I talking? To Mo.
You're talking. Here's Ric. I want to know. You were supposed to show up for one of Harley's wrestling events.
Harley!
Harley. Apparently, you didn't show up, and the rumor is that you didn't show up because Harley wasn't going to pay your bar tab.
Harley and I go way back. I had a flight, and it was booked. I thought I knew Harley. I don't. No, Harley. I said, Harley, I got to get on the plane. All I need you to do, I need you to pay my bar tab. I said, Harley, would you pay my bar tab? I gotta go. It's gonna be in St. Louis. I'm gonna be at the Marriott. I'm gonna be dancing all night long, looking as only I can look, dancing as I can only dance. I just need you to pay my bar tab.
And he wasn't
going. He said, Nate, I can't pay your bar tab. Woo! I didn't get on the plane.
So you know Harley, though, right?
I thought I knew Harley. I don't know.
I'm wondering, did you ever wrestle Harley for
60 minutes?
That's on
every night. Draw.
Oh my God.
Sweat, paid the price with Harley, but I don't know Harley.
Well, thank you, Rick. Thank you for clearing that up.
Mo!
Yes.
Mo!
Yes.
Mo!
Yes.
Woo!
All right, that was Ric Flair. Fantastic.
That was tremendous.
Ric Flair was awesome.
You didn't mention me, though.
What about those questions you asked him?
Well, I was trying, and
I just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. You know what, but we have another question. I got another question for, just quickly, we got a Joey Lawrence on the line because there's been a lot of rumors going around that it's not Rob Lowe, Joey, but it's actually you that's going to replace Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men, and I just wanted to find out about that.
Whoa.
Thank you. That clears that up. Now that we have the answers to those questions.
We got the inside shit on that stuff.
We do, absolutely.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous.
I'm going to hit... Do we want to hit that other game now, or do we want to hit one of my questions? Let's hit that other
game.
Well,
I think we should go. Let's go to a question because it's a game. And it's just,
well, this is a question emailed to me.
Okay, yeah.
By Brodius. Brodius Play.
Brodius Play. I love these hands.
In Vancouver, Canada. So it's nice to have Canadian hands.
Probably on Vancouver Island, with a name like Brodius Play, probably likes to ride the ferries.
He has in here. He wants to know the first to have. Who do we think is the first one of the people that have left to have that will have a match again in the WWE? Batista, Foley, or HBK? Now, I don't know why I put those in, so I'm going to put some others in. Okay,
Batista, Foley, HBK. Okay, so
I'm going to throw these in there. Also, I was going to throw in there Flair, Hogan, Angle, and Rock.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to start with Batista. What is it? Batista, Foley, HBK.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the... Because that's the question. That's why I want to answer the question.
Okay, answer the question.
Batista, Foley, HBK.
Brodius
Play.
Brodius... This guy must have created this name like a week ago, because Brodius Clay just showed up.
Why? Maybe he's been
a lifelong fan. NXT
fan. Maybe he's a lifelong fan. Who knows? He's from Vancouver. I mean, we get the show on the Score, right? So... It's possible to see it. You don't have to sit on your computer.
That's true.
I would say Batista.
You mean Batista before HBK and Foley?
Yeah, I think HBK last. I think Foley would definitely be back. I just think Batista will be back first. I don't have any necessarily good reason behind it. I don't think HBK.
We've been hearing that Batista's going to have an MMA match in Europe now.
Bama? Is that where he's going?
Is that the one where they're in a frying pan? Or is that
Yama? That was Yama.
How did I get those mixed up?
I don't know.
Okay. So Bama in Europe, apparently. So you got Batista over HBK and Foley.
Yes.
Are you saying you don't think... I think there's...
I don't think Foley... If Sean comes back, it'll be in a while. It's not going to be in the next...
Let's put it this way, then. Of those three, do you think all three of them may have another match in the WWE or won't? Or do you think Batista's the only one who will?
If we're going likelihood... Batista's most likely, Foley second, HBK third.
You don't think, really? You really don't think HBK's having another match? Okay.
Well, I'm not saying that I don't think he's going to have another match. I just think it's very unlikely. I think Foley.
That's one thing. If Foley is going to have another one, or even Batista, Batista's probably
Foley's
be
a. Are you kidding? Foley be. Yeah.
Yeah, Foley's.
Come back and have a match. Okay.
If he's going to have another one, he needs to do it soon because those knees are not holding up. So that's one thing. Okay, so that gives us Flair, Hogan, Angle, and Rock.
Well, what's your answer for Brodius?
For Brodius.
Answer the man or woman. Brodius could be gender.
Brodius is probably, who was it last week? Betty Scoop. Betty Scoop, yeah. So that might have been a girl, though I still doubt it.
Betty.
Well, I know your success with women.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, anyways, I don't want to copy you and say Batista, but...
But it's the right answer.
Yeah, really, it seems like it, but I don't have a feeling like he's coming back. Foley, I get the feeling like he's just waiting to get out of his TNA contract somewhere or another. In fact, it looked like at one point a few months ago like he was out.
They were talking about it, yeah.
So I'm going to go Foley. I think Foley might – if Foley, I think, at this point is disappointed that he wasn't – like, you'll remember originally he had, the reason why he, many years ago, was going to go to TNA, told Vince out of loyalty, and Vince offered him a big contract.
He was going to put Joe over.
He was going to put Joe over, and he had said, oh, maybe now this can be my legacy to have helped that second company get to the next level. And I think he's probably disappointed that he hasn't been able to do that. And I think he has a lot of blame for the management and the writing company and such of that. Now,
yeah.
I haven't read his latest book. But
Nobody has.
No, well, no. But we aren't talking about his fiction novels here either. We're talking about Countdown to Lockdown.
Oh,
and but I would have to say Foley probably, I think, is – I just don't get the feeling Batista's looking to come back, except for the fact that he spends a lot of money apparently.
That's
a good way to make it. But I just – he doesn't love wrestling. He does not love wrestling.
No, that's true, but he loves money.
He does love money, and he loves those – and I love those shirts that he wears.
Yes, that pink polo with the giant – that's beautiful.
That was beautiful. Actually, remember back in the day, he was such a douche but in the way he dressed towards the end there, but – The Rock had that gimmick when he was the heel Rock at WrestleMania was 16 when he's taken on.
Well, The Rock had his $300, $500 shirts, right?
His silk shirts, yeah. And he had the track pants, and he had kind of that same douche look. And actually, who do you think was the better dresser, The Rock in that era or Batista towards the end?
Oh, Batista. I think Batista's had the best douche look. Because Rock's look, as douchey as it was somewhat popular.
Yeah, I suppose. And then Jericho also had a douche look when he first showed up. Actually, towards the end of WCW and when he first showed up in W... Actually, when he first showed
that
up this
just...
latest time when he had that haircut and that chain thing and that vest this latest time.
Oh, God, yeah. Well,
that first night. But I'm just talking general. He also had the shirts and he had... What do you think of his douche look?
Well, Jericho was more of a... obnoxiously flamboyant look, I think, was what he was kind of going for. I don't know, but I think Batista's douche look was... Batista was just... Yeah, it was like New Jersey, Jersey Shore douche level.
Yeah, but you could kind of picture Batista walking around in that. In fact...
He walks around with no shirt.
I seem to remember him walking around with his shirt constantly open, looking pretty high a few times.
So he walks around with no shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was
Jersey
awesome.
Fucking Shore.
That's hilarious. All right. Okay, so add your... So who did... So you said
so,
Batista.
So he's the last
said
four.
Foley.
Yeah,
okay,
I said
so,
Foley.
So now add your guys.
So we'll get
see.
The next one. So we'll go Flair, and then we'll do a winner's bracket. Okay, so we got Flair. We got
it's
Hogan.
It's a tournament now.
You're fucking right. Well, you know what? Tournaments are... The one who wins the tournament gets a shot at the belt. Isn't that how it works, Joe Warren?
Yes, tournaments and belts.
Yeah.
Vince.
Flair... Hogan, Angle, or Rock?
Hogan, Angle, Hogan, Angle, Rock, who?
Flair.
Flair. Flair.
Do you think those are the ones I threw in?
Flair, Hogan, Angle, Rock. Rock.
You think Rock is the most likely to have the first one to have that match? Okay.
In WWF, because I don't think Hogan should ever wrestle again. I don't know that Hogan... Could I mean if
Hogan's looking to wrestle in 3 months when his back heals?
Well, I know.
He's a fucking idiot.
Well, of course, but he needs again. We go back to Randy the Ram. He needs the money.
And, he needs the fame as much as anything.
Well, yeah,
he can't admit it.
But I don't know that. Yeah, I guess that's what it is because he'd probably make the same amount of money wrestling or not in TNA, which isn't much.
You
but
know, what's he going to add? He's going to add 1,000 buys, giving them 2,000.
Well, it's not about buys. He's going to pop a rating.
Oh, my mistake.
He's going to get them a 1.4.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Round it up.
Yeah, yeah, 1.36, round it up. But the thing is, with Hogan, he's shot. His knees are done. Like
his back, his knees.
Yeah, his back, everything, man. He's done. Angle seems content with TNA. I don't know. He's a possibility.
Angle's talking that he's content
with TNA. He's a possibility.
I don't know that Angle really wouldn't. His contract has a little bit left. I'm not sure he wouldn't jump at WWF or WWE, sorry, if he gets
you
one last chance.
You don't know Angle.
No, I've got to get the F out. But, yeah, I mean, I would go Angle because, I mean, same reason Hogan seems shot. And if Hogan comes back and has a match in TNA and it just blows, I do not see any way that they're ever going to let this guy back in the WWE. But more than that, Flair, I mean, I think they would love to have Flair back. But the fact is, they
Hunter would.
Well, I think, yeah, and Hunter's going to have some power, right? But I think they would love to have Flair back. I think having Flair there means a lot as far as how they market their DVDs and things, just things like, you know, and he's just a presence, right? He can be somebody they can send out to things.
He didn't want
to
do that, though. That's the problem.
No, he didn't want to do
that.
That's the thing. He didn't want to admit he's done. But the way they let him go out and the fact that they don't believe anybody watches TNA, I don't know why they think that. But
where?
Yeah. They will not let Flair have a match. So then it becomes down to Angle or Rock, and I want it to be Rock, but I think it's Angle. Okay. But they're pretty close. So let's go then between the ones that we kind of threw out there: Angle, Rock, Foley, and Batista. Who do you think is most likely then in the winner's bracket?
Well, you see, you got to figure, at least in my estimation, that Rock, to me, if he's going to do it, it's either SummerSlam or Mania, mm-hmm. right? It's one of the two. It's SummerSlam in L.A. is what I would do to pop a secondary buy rate. Mm-hmm. You know, but then there are the people that say, oh, it's got to be. It's a Mania match. It's got to be Mania. Well, I disagree with that. But that's why if I'm looking and if I'm thinking Rock in the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months, Big Dave, I'm thinking that's pretty close too, 6 to 12 months for, like, I could see Dave being back at the Rumble, en route to next year's Mania.
I kind of suspected he could be good. What about Goldberg? Do you think Goldberg has any chance to have a match before any of these people?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna say Angle because I really do think that. That might happen, and then Foley for me is second most, and then Batista, and then Rock. I mean, if Rock doesn't have one within the next calendar year, I find it really
difficult.
That's
it, I think,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, I think that's kind of...
He's got his angle tailor-made for Cena, and we'd always heard that he didn't want to fight Cena, right? Or he didn't want to have a match with Cena. That was sort of the thing. Would you have a match with John Cena? And he sort of... Rock had always been like, no.
No, Rock was always like, no offense to John Cena, but he's just not quite at that level where if I come in, he's a guy matching me to create that moment.
Well, there is that. And
that was kind of around
WrestleMania. And see, and Nicky, we talked last time, is that that's what fucking Cena should have keyed into, right? You don't think I'm as good as you? Why?
But instead, Cena's proven the fact that he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, do we have any other? I think is there a guest on the line, Addy? Who's that? What have we got?
There's a call. The line's going. Is there... Hello, who's this? Yo-Yo, bro. Kamala here.
Kamala!
Yo,
awesome!
Mo!
I didn't know you spoke, Kamala. I never heard you say anything. What are you doing?
Yeah, I speak. I just think about my time in the former WWF.
Really?
Thinking about people with the steroids and the knee pads, yeah.
Why did people have knee pads? In the ring, you meant, when they threw a knee bra?
Pushing and pulling.
So, what was your favorite time? You look back. Is there anybody you really enjoyed working with?
I wrestled Hulk Hogan. I wrestled the Ultimate Warrior. So many times.
Oh yeah? Were they fun matches or?
They were fun matches, but they got to start thinking that wrestling was real.
Oh, it's not real to me.
Oh, yeah. No, not real. They believed their own hype, and they had their steroids, and they just didn't. They got paid more than I did.
Well, what happens when you take steroids?
Well, you kill yourself and other people, too.
Okay.
I may say too much.
You may say too much.
I better let you go, then.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Yo, bro, you take care.
We appreciate that.
That was awkward.
Christ,
that was a great... Way to let that interview get out of hand, Mo.
Yeah, well, what about your conversation with him there?
Hmm? Well, I tried again, but you jumped in, and I was the one having to put the hang-up button, the dump button on him, because he was
talking
getting a little
bit... Patterson and stuff backstage.
Who?
Patterson.
Patterson.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard he has an issue with Patterson.
Yes. Well, I heard he didn't have an issue with Patterson.
Yeah.
Which was the problem.
Apparently he didn't swing that way.
No.
Okay, well, let's play douche or no douche.
Douche or no douche. Well, okay.
Okay.
You're a douche.
Yeah.
That's not the game. The game is douche or no douche, and what we've got is I got a list here of some office executives in both companies, WWF or WWE and TNA, and we're gonna let you know who they are, what they do, and why they're either a douche or not a douche.
That's right. A lot of these people you've heard us reference, especially Addy tends to bring up Kevin Dunn and Brian Giewertz, and we brought up Hayes a little bit. He mentions them, and I think most of you know who these guys are, but in case they don't, let's start with Brian Giewertz. Who is Brian Giewertz? What is your opinion of him, douche or no douche?
So I'll start. Brian Giewertz.
Giewertz
is the lead writer on a little program called Monday Night Raw.
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. All right. Well, good. He's the head writer on Raw. He's a douche.
And why do you say that?
I look at it like he's the head writer on Raw, and I'm hard pressed to find a star that he's created. It's a guy that he's really taken the reins and gotten over.
You're right. Cena was already pretty goddamn over by the time he got there.
Yes. Cena's thugonomic character was established.
I guess he's really worked with Randy Orton. When did he first become head writer in WWE?
Mm.
Did he take over from Russo?
No, I don't think it was Russo specifically. I think they did the brand extension because there was a fellow, the late Chris Kresge, who took over from Russo and did a damn good job. I think actually probably some of the best television that year was, I think, 2000.
Yeah.
There. I want to say 2001, 2002.
But didn't he work back with The Rock in his original run? Didn't he work heavily in influencing that character and writing that character, or was that Russo? Or was that The Rock?
I was going to say, you're looking at the Rock really putting a lot of time and effort and a lot of people sort of making some false claims that they've got anything to do, but I think that
you get people saying putting themselves over in wrestling is what you're saying.
I know, isn't that strange? That's strange.
No, that's never happened.
That
Brian Giewertz, the head writer of Raw, and you consider him a douche simply because he hasn't made a star during his, no matter what, it's a significant tenure. In fact, I think you're just looking it up right now to see how long he's been employed there and what's his what his background is there, but while you're doing that,
not necessarily the background. You asked when he started, and it's a good question, and I've got sort of somewhat of an idea of a time frame in my head, but I was just hoping to be able to get it, confirmed here.
Probably,
but
you might know more if you spell his name correctly.
Yeah. Well, if he wasn't such a fucking douche, I would care enough.
And what kind of shirts does he wear?
Hmm? Yeah, exactly. I think he's got pink polo shirts here. Looking at SmackDown 1999 TV show. So, I mean, he was around.
I understood that he was around and had some influence in helping Rock write some of his promos.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could say that didn't create The Rock. The Rock created The Rock, basically. And, I mean, that charisma.
Well, let's not even argue with that because it doesn't matter. But the reason he's a fucking douche is because he becomes the head writer of a show. And quite frankly, since 2002, since 2002, the show from probably 2002 to 2006 or 7. I mean, it sucks shit.
Yeah.
And he's writing a show that sucks shit.
I think around 2004, I I could not.
Muhammad Hassan and fucking HLA and you, Katie Vick.
Really, the TV
break.
Leading into and leading out of Mania 20 was terrible.
He writes some good comedy. He can write some good comedy.
Well, you could say the same of Russo, but money doesn't or funny doesn't equal money.
No.
So, okay, let's move on here.
Okay.
We talked about the head writer of Raw. Let me ask you about the head writer of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Here's a man named, his name is Michael P.S. Hayes, is how he's known. He's Doc Hendricks for a while in the WWE. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Well.
He was a tremendous promo. Worked in WCW, worked in World Class Championship Wrestling as part of the legendary team, the Freebirds. But behind the scenes, he's
fabulous
the head. Freebirds. He sang the greatest, maybe one of the, I think, the two greatest entrance songs perhaps
Bad
ever.
Bad Street.
Bad Street USA, along with Jive Soul Bro with Slick. I mean, I love those two. So tell me about Michael P.S. Hayes, head writer of SmackDown, douche or no douche?
I'm going to go no douche.
What?
On Michael Pretty Sexy Hayes. Because,
pure sexy.
Pure sexy? Is that what it was? That was P.S. Sexy. That was excellent. But when I look at the show and what Michael Hayes has done in terms of creating new talent and helping to elevate some talent and storylines, it hasn't really he's nobody's perfect really. So
okay, so let's you're talking about nobody's perfect. As a writer, obviously we can reference Edge versus Kane and that, but as a writing style and as general enjoyment of the program, you find SmackDown to be more to your liking, and I would agree personally as well.
I do. I mean,
more difficult to watch because of the night it's on, but more to my liking.
Yes, I mean he's been. It was late 06. It was October of 06 when he took over and the head writing of SmackDown. So he's had 4 and a bit years there. And I would say that I would enjoy that. I've enjoyed the last 4 years on SmackDown more than I have on Raw. And you look at guys like Edge that have taken it and run with it. You think of Cena.
Well, Edge and Vicky together were so great, and just the emergence of Vicky. A lot of that's him. And
yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. Dolph Ziggler. But if we're gonna talk about douche or no douche with Michael P.S. Hayes, we cannot ignore the fact that he was at one point suspended from the company for racial insensitivity. And when you're talking about douche or no douche, you could talk about is he a douche or no douche? Maybe, but it's maybe he's a little closer to your personal point of views on those things. I'm not saying. I'm just maybe. I don't know. But I know for me, when I hear that guy, I think that I have a little difficulty with that.
Well, okay, yeah, if you want to go there. And I wasn't really thinking that. We were looking at, job descriptions and stuff. And I'm thinking, he's not. Yeah, you're personally.
But it was within a company context that he did these things.
Oh, sure. I'm just, we're talking about, is the show good? Is he good at his job? Is he a good human being? Well, I mean, that apparently is questionable given, what you're talking about, right? So, yeah. If we're looking at that, okay, I can see that, and I wasn't thinking that, so we got to add that in, and that's a good point. So
it's a good point, but I still understand your point saying not no douche, but I just think you can't bring up
can't,
PSAs and necessarily totally skip that. Can I hit you with another one? I'm going to hit you somebody in TNA.
Okay, yeah, we'll go TNA.
The head of talent relations for TNA,
mm-hmm.
Terry Taylor, also yes. A former wrestler. Unlike Michael P.S. Hayes,
mm-hmm.
You can't say he had a Hall of Fame career in the ring. He was largely a disappointment, seen as a good hand who never reached his potential.
Yep.
Had probably the worst on-purpose gimmick in the 80s as the Red Rooster.
Yes.
And has been head of talent relations for quite a long time in TNA now. Your opinion, mm-hmm. Terry Taylor?
If you listen to Jim Cornette... He's a douche.
Yeah, you listen to Jim, and if you listen to Jim Cornette, there's no question what he did makes him a douche. Basically, he backstabbed his friendship.
Yeah, exactly, and that would make him a douche to me.
But how about within his job description, as head of talent relations in TNA?
Well, he's in a tough position because he's in a position where. Even if he wanted to do something, and again, I don't know the, I'm not there, I'm not, I don't live in Nashville, I don't know the inner workings or, been in Orlando. It's just, I look at a company that's not necessarily in a high potential growth position. I don't know that there's a lot of talent that he's able to go out and acquire because of either cost or just that they've got too many people that they're that they've got already. So and I think he's somewhat neutered on big decisions in that company.
Yeah, you look at the talent that's brought in.
Like, did he hire Jeff Hardy? Did he hire
Rob
Van Dam? Did he hire Hulk Hogan? Did he hire Eric Bischoff? Did he hire Ric Flair? Did he hire Mick Foley? I don't think so.
On the other hand, has he under his watch have we seen Sanjay Dutt go? Have we seen Chris Daniels go? I guess so. He's back as Suicide now. As far as talent, talents in the ring haven't been replaced.
You're the head in the ring.
They still have a ton of talent there, but it's not as good as it was 3-4 years ago, in my opinion.
I think Terry Taylor is for his job, is a neutral douche. Because...
I still got to go douche, because I also hear about his... He is a high-power position. I hear about his leadership backstage. I hear about the way... The performers who leave that company come out talking about it.
Yeah, well, that's yeah.
I go douche.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's all Terry Taylor, right? And that's the point I'm getting at is if Terry Taylor isn't making decisions to bring in the talent that's affording the people that are there to leave, like the Sanjays and the Low Keys and the Christopher Daniels, you can't say you let these guys go, and in the same breath. You didn't hire these guys. Like, you got to take it. To me, if your job is to hire and fire people, then you got to be doing both. And if he ain't doing the hiring, you can't blame him for the firing because it's the hirings that are causing the firings.
When you look about their homegrown talent, and there's not a lot to look at there, but when you do the names that you do think of, how many of them was he responsible for?
But the fucking company's been around for what?
A decade almost, wasn't it? 2002. No, almost, it'll be the 9th year anniversary, Slammiversary this year, in a few months.
Yeah, okay, so if you're doing that and you're looking at that, then how long has Terry Taylor been there?
2004, 2005, something like that, isn't it?
I don't even know. All I know is,
especially, it's just really sad to me to see the lack of talent in the X division compared to what once was. So that's I go douche, and also like I say, because of how people talk about it. I'm going to move on here.
Yes,
Kevin Sullivan, not the Kevin Sullivan many people would know. This is Kevin Sullivan.
Sullivan.
Who was a tremendous booker and also had some booking mistakes, obviously, but and a good hand.
A good hand and a good promo, a
character who drew money despite being like. What, 3'4", something like that? A little shorter than Hornswoggle, I think. Not a tall guy, but about 700 pounds of muscle. Kevin Sullivan, not that Kevin Sullivan. There's a Kevin Sullivan who works for TNA. He's their television director. What do you think of him? Douche or no douche?
Oh, fucking douche. Holy fuck. That guy's the biggest fucking douche in the whole fucking company. Like, Jesus Christ, how many shots is someone going over the top rope and about to break their fucking neck, and we're looking at some fat fucking American in the crowd? Like, really? I mean, how many times does he just...
There's a lot of tourists there. They might not be American. They might be Canadian. They might be British.
That's true.
The point is that the crowd...
What do you got against the British?
What do you got? He's the Americans.
Well,
Jesus
the
Christ.
Point
Aren't
being,
you going to Orlando in a couple
I
weeks?
I will be, yes, hopefully in the Impact Zone in a couple weeks.
Well, you know what? People always talk about how you see the Impact Zone and how about that not a crowd you want to present on national television. Now, that's a low-class looking crowd.
Oh, it will be then.
And you're going, so
yes.
That will fit right in.
The
crowd in Orlando has been very good to them. But you know what? As far as a television director, you're right. The guy's constantly missing
his shots.
Yeah, no, constantly missing his shots. Constantly missing his cues. He has, you say, it's painful to see somebody putting their career on the line And instead, you'll have a shot where you've missed it, and that happens fairly consistently.
Well, it's big angles, it's big
and things. It's to the back.
Well, to the back, yeah, I mean, he's also the director. And part of that is the writing of the show. But, I mean, it's a matter of there's no format sheet. And to me, when we get to the next one, Vince Russo, who's also a fucking douche, is between the two of those fucking douches, they're supposed to be able to get the fucking show written in a proper television formatted way so that they've got time and they've got cues and everything flows, and they don't fucking do it.
No. So let's talk about that. Vince Russo is the former writer with the WWE, took a lot of credit for the Attitude Era. In truth, stole a lot of stuff from the great Howard Stern and from Paul Heyman.
Who?
Vince Russo. Vinnie Roo?
Yeah. Paul Heyman and who?
The great Howard Stern. And he doesn't work for Max.
Oh.
And he stole a lot of the stuff from those guys. But nevertheless, his company turned around on his... he had some credit for doing so. Went to WCW, shit the bed. Company went out of business. He was largely responsible. Not 100%.
Not 100%, but largely, yeah.
But largely responsible. Yeah. Has gone to TNA and is a head writer. Has not drawn... Not really drawn, considering the
not
the,
really drawn.
Not really. Let me finish the sentence. Not really consider. I mean, because they're up to 1-3, right?
Oh, but, good. But that puts more money in their fucking pocket.
No,
doesn't
it doesn't. But not well, considering his tenure and the talent acquisition of big name stars has certainly been seen as a failure, both in production as far as drawing money and ratings, as well as far as quality of television.
They've so that's my fucking so for me, tripled douche. Their payroll and gone up 2/10 of a point.
And drink some more beer.
I will.
Fucking right.
Fuck, we're talking about Vince Russo. I gotta drink some fucking beer. But no, I mean, I think we've talked about Russo before, and we've kind of exhausted how retarded this guy is and how stupid that.
But that's
his
our point
fucking
of view,
booking
I mean,
style.
For anybody
is.
Who's heard,
oh yeah, no,
you're
welcome to
is.
Be wrong if you disagree with me.
If you disagree with us, the guy's a douche. But just in case you don't know what our issue is with the guy, that's it, and that's who he is.
Yes.
And the guy's an absolute douche. And speaking of somebody else that I know you're not too fond of, I'll get your opinion anyways. We talked about the television director and the big – you talked about the major douche that is Kevin Sullivan. There is a major douche, and you're doing an imitation that you got from Jim Cornette of him like a chipmunk.
Yes.
His name is Kevin Dunn, television director of yes. WWE. Please, your thoughts.
Kevin
douche,
Dunn. Kevin
douche.
Dunn. You know, I can't call Kevin Dunn a complete douche. The video packages that Kevin Dunn's team – puts together are fantastic in large part. You know, every sort of and Kevin Dunn's been around for, I mean, I've seen episodes of Primetime Wrestling with, you know, executive assistant producer Kevin Dunn on them from 1987, you know. So Kevin Dunn's been there. He's probably, he's the most powerful person in that company, not named McMahon.
Is he more powerful than Gewirtz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
seen as...
Oh,
seen
God,
yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Gewirtz is seen as one of the most powerful people in the company, but Dunn
is...
You
know what? I don't think Gewirtz is one of the most powerful people in the company. He may be the most influential on creative, but yeah. Kevin Dunn
is extremely powerful. Kevin Dunn was a person that people are looking at for the Sheamus' D push that a lot of people are scratching their heads over.
Well, that's
true. A lot of decisions that he's made.
Katie Vick.
As far as actual quality of television production, you can't really bitch about the WWE. But as far as his kind of string pulling backstage, I wonder what the hell about this guy.
Well, he has a view of, I mean, you talk about... when WCW, because it's topical because UFC just bought Strikeforce today, so it's something that...
Last week, sorry, not today.
The story, the more information keeps coming out on it. I read about some today.
You're reading some things today.
But the... it's topical because then it goes back to WCW and WWF purchase that we talked about. And with Dunn, he was the one that kept saying... You know, we've built this brand, and you can't let these WCW guys coming in. And it's like, well, you fucking own them now.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Dunn is one of those guys. I don't really think he gets it as a booker, and yet he has booking power. Because simply because he has power.
Yeah, he's not actually out there booking the shows, but he's got
so much power.
Influence right over it. So yeah, and I mean,
I don't think he understands the psychology. This large, he understands television.
He looks down on
it.
He's the guy that really I think is the influence on really looking down on wrestling and wrestling fans. And you know, when you hear Vince talking about, well, you know, I know what you want better than you do, pal. Yeah. I think Kevin Dunn is you know, maybe didn't create that, because Vince, I think, could figure that out on his own, at least formulate that opinion on his own. But I think Kevin Dunn's right there going, yeah, you tell him, right? So
I'll give you that, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the last guy here. John Laurinaitis, brother of Road Warrior Hawk,
mm-hmm.
Animal.
Yeah.
Wrestled in Japan, was a fairly big star there. Not a huge star, but not a fairly big star in Japan. Started his booking and inside work in Japan.
Okay.
Where he had built himself a good reputation as a wrestler, was seen as a disappointment. Was part of with Shane Douglas. Was part of.
Was he?
Yeah, was part of one of the most failed tag teams of the what was it, early 90s. They were. Was the
Who?
Team Johnny Ace, as his name was.
Right.
John Laurinaitis and Shane Douglas. What was the name of the team again?
They had a team?
Josh.
I have to apologize, because I mean we knew that we were going to talk about this, and I did some research, but it turns out I did research on the wrong John Laurinaitis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I did. I did research on the wrong John Laurinaitis.
But he would never do that.
Yeah, okay,
that's something we'll get into. But no, seriously.
It was the Dynamic Dudes.
The Dynamic Dudes.
The skateboards come to the ring. They were managed by Jim Cornette, actually. Mm-hmm. And that actually managed to turn Jim Cornette back with the Midnight Express.
Yeah, they're just a failed team. The reason that people turned on John Cena for, you know, when they turn on him, Dynamic Dudes have part of that. Just they're trying too hard. They're that type of deal. So he was part of that. But then he went to Japan, let's say, had a good career.
He was
came back to WCW.
He
was working WCW towards the end and was seen as a really good person for them to bring in. He was seen as a positive move. Now, the company, shortly after he got there, went out of business. And he went over to WWE. And at the time, people were thinking, oh, good. Well, he's going to go over to WWE. He'll do a good thing there. He's the head of talent relations, John Laurinaitis, with WWE. And
well, he didn't at first. He didn't at first.
No, he didn't.
But he eventually, yeah, he did take over.
He took over pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, he's a douche, and he came in, and very very soon in he was seen as a Stephanie ass kisser.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got
Stephanie
him on
McMahon,
a well, Stephanie McMahon, yes, not Stephanie Wyant. Nope. You know, you won the house, and he really attached himself to them. And just, you know, so that immediately got him some favoritism points with her, and he eventually came in to be the head of talent relations, and I don't know that any of the talent really has anything good to say about him. Maybe some do. You hear, you know, a lot of decisions that, you know, were clearly his. Being passed off as, you know, like creative doesn't have anything for you, or
what's kind of his legacy? Know. I mean, if you were to say what's his legacy as talent relations, give some of the examples of things he's done
and
wrong.
There was a fellow by the name of Zach Gowan, who has one leg and was trained as a professional wrestler and is an amputee in one leg, and there was another one in Florida. Who was lesser known, just starting off his training, I guess.
Zach Gowan had been in TNA, I believe, right?
He was Tenacious Z, yeah. And he beat the Road Dog.
Yeah.
And so he had some exposure, at least, there. And so it was thought, okay, let's bring him in.
Vince wanted him in. He thought he could market this
guy. Yeah, he could market the guy. And so Johnny Ace went out, and he hired the wrong guy.
Johnny Jackass, as he's sometimes known. Johnny
Ass. The wrong one-legged wrestler.
He hired the wrong one-legged wrestler.
Like, how do you do that?
Another one of the things that he did was he instituted the dress code with the WWE for the
mm-hmm.
talent.
Yes.
Something I've always questioned, and certainly the talent has, I know, not been too fond of. I mean, you know what? But it's these type of things that he does more because he knows Vince will like it.
Well, okay, let's talk about Vince Lang and his hiring policy. I mean, he put in at one point a hiring policy where you had to be, what, 6'2"? 6 foot two and, at least 250 pounds or
something like that.
And, I mean, and there's the list, and there was a list in the Observer at the time. I remember, you know, like all these people, like Bret Hart and Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels, and you know, and Mick
Kurt
Foley
Angle.
And Kurt Angle and all
not
these
Mick Foley.
Guys.
Not Mick Foley. Mick Foley's huge, but all these guys who
yeah,
did
but Mick Foley. No, but they're talking bodybuilder types. Mick Foley wouldn't
yeah.
have got in.
Yeah, there's all these guys who drew money for the company
yeah.
recently, and in the Attitude Era and such. Who this guy would not have hired
mm-hmm.
because they didn't follow the policy.
Because they didn't fit that policy. I mean, Owen Hart wouldn't have got hired. Chris Benoit wouldn't have got hired. Eddie Guerrero wouldn't have got hired. I mean, like,
yeah,
none of these
yeah.
guys, right?
And you know what?
Rey Mysterio.
And another guy that – another thing that he's well known for doing – yeah, I mean, he's the way he's let people go has often been questioned about his you know,
– Well, he pansies out,
yeah. Another thing that's been an issue, he's hired many women from only looking at their shots in a model magazine.
Yes, yeah.
You know, other than Kelly, I'm not sure how many
well,
of them turned
but
out
that's,
very well.
But that's the female version of the, you know, the 6 foot two, 250 pound bodybuilder.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, type. So, I mean, it flips both ways, but and I don't know. But, I mean, you just look at who's been.
FCW is largely his creation. FCW is the current developmental system. And
well, that's the other one is that he got rid of Ohio Valley Wrestling, which is, you know, a
which
big
had
part
only
of
gave
his
us, only gave us guys like John Cena and Brock
Randy
Lesnar
Orton,
and Randy
Shelton
Orton,
Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas,
Batista.
Yes, Leviathan, the Demon of the Deep.
Yeah, so I mean, there was only a you know, a history of success. So he got rid of them for just to move his basically a. Move him into Florida because that's where he was, and it was easier for him.
Well, and he's friends with Steve Kern. I mean, yeah, you know,
and people really question the quality of the training people have gotten down there. And
well,
that's
see,
a whole other subject.
Yeah,
for
I think that really is another day, and I think
but
that's
basically
you know,
as a
we're
douche,
running.
We really look at this guy, we wonder how good is he? But he's a douche for a his job, but also he just seems like a fucking douche. The guy just comes, you just hear about him, and you go, God, what a douchebag.
That's true, and we're not talking about you.
No, we're not. But speaking of which, I think we are OUT. I just want to say thank you to everybody who tried to has been getting a hold of us, emailing us at wetalkwrestling.aim.
Read WeTalkWrestling at aim.com. WeTalkWrestling.
Sometimes you talk for a while and you start to lose your
WeTalkWrestling at aim.com. WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com. We're also on iTunes. Look at us up at Twitter. Just Twitter.com and we're WeTalkWrestling. So just type that in. You'll bring it right to us. We'll add you to
become
as a
follower, please. Hit about We Talk Wrestling on the right hand, right on our wall.
Yeah.
We want to thank a lot of people here in Calgary have found us, and a lot of people, you've been very good to us in Australia. Texas has been very good to us, the eastern coast of the United States.
All over the world, we want to say
Japan.
Japan
has been very good to us, and we just hope everybody who's listened to us there and you and all that you care for are safe and sound, given in light of recent events.
Do.
So
yeah,
thank you very kindly. And Adam, I just last thing before – I already said OUT, but before we do it again, thank your mother for me for the discount. I didn't know you could get a woman to do all that kind of freaky shit for only like $18.
Yeah, well, she thought you were a hooker.
Oh.